Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast, Conversations with Silicon Valley's Creatives. I'm Daniel Garcia, your host and the cultivator of Content Magazine, published by SV Creates.
Cool. Welcome, Andrew. Thank you for being on the Content Magazine podcast.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So today we're here in the content studio with Andrew Espino, and he is the owner of One Culture Gallery here in San Jose. So first of all, I want to get to that, but you actually, like, your daytime job, your real job or whatever, is doing real estate, right?
Yeah. I've been a real estate broker for 22 years. Yeah. I've worked in no other profession but real estate.
Oh, okay.
So I started in college.
Yeah.
And that was the path I chose, or chose me, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Totally,
but yeah, that's been my career for 22 years.
Yeah. So now when did you launch the gallery? When did you launch One Culture?
We actually officially opened brick and mortars May of 2022.
Okay.
Cinco de Mayo weekend was our first show. But most people don't know, we actually started as a pop-up.
Right.
So I started as a pop-up about a year prior to that. And so I was selling artwork, mostly prints, custom shoes, things like that, all over as far as Modesto. A lot of my friends and family thought I was crazy because they were like, you're not doing an open house, but you're going to Modesto to sell prints. Awesome. You lost your mind. But what I did is I actually reached out to a lot of friends of mine who were artists. And after hearing some of their stories, I was really inspired. And I was like, okay, you know, how can I help? Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, I sell my prints and I do this. And that's how I got involved and got started. Yeah. I was like, okay, I could do this. And then it just took on a life of its own. And you know, here we are.
So then how did you get connected with the arts community then, right? I mean, because if you're doing real estate, I know that you had bought a property on Reed Street.
And that was a very important moment in my life. But to answer that question, early on in my years, like when I started actually selling real estate and really making my way, I would I loved buying art, you know. And so I would go into like galleries in Monterey or Palo Alto, and I loved the artwork, but it didn't really connect with me.
Yeah.
And so I found myself when I was traveling to New York or LA, and even here locally, I would look for a lot of local art. And it spoke to me for whatever reason. It was relatable, you know. So I remember one time going to L.A. and I was walking around, and we're over by Melrose, and I was asking people, asked the barbershop, and they're like, oh, if you go around to this tattoo shop behind the back, they have their own little gallery.
Oh, cool.
And so I started finding my way through different cities and buying local art.
Yeah.
And for me, I just connected with it really well. A lot of it was street art storytelling, you know, kind of urban environment.
Yeah.
But a lot of people ask me that question, and how I fell in love with art, how I really gravitate towards it, is when I was young, a lot of my uncles were incarcerated. Most people don't know this story, but a good majority of them. And for my birthday or Christmas, they would send me letters. And it wouldn't be many words, but it would have a lot of art. They were artists.
Yeah, drawings.
And so they would wish me well on my football season because I played high school sports and college sports. So I would cover my room with all this artwork,
know?
And to me, at a very young age, I think I was connecting to it. I was looking at it, and it was touching me in a certain way. And so you get older, you grow up, you know, you kind of put those away.
Right.
My dorm looked a lot different, you know.
Yeah.
But
Farrah Fawcett poster, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's completely different. But as I started in my real estate career, I kind of gravitated towards buying art again and decorating the home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Do you remember the first piece that you kind of bought that you were like super proud of?
I mean, I still have a few of them. And in fact, I can't find a lot of the artists.
Because they were like super local artists and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was back in, date myself, this was back in like 2004, 2005, 6. So Instagram, Facebook.
Right.
They would have their name on it, and I didn't save any information, so I can't find a lot of the artists, which that is now my new mission, is to actually find some of these artists. Some of them were graffiti artists, you know, because a lot of my buddies were graffiti artists when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I loved graffiti. I loved hip hop. I loved oldies. Those are lowriders. Those are all the things that are very familiar to me.
Yeah.
And so you'll notice that in the gallery.
Yeah, totally.
And a lot of the artwork that I own.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So, do you remember what piece that you bought that you were?
I don't. But actually, one of the pieces that I love is still one of my favorite pieces. Is one of Sam Rodriguez's pieces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I purchased it through Carlos Silver at Empire.
Okay.
Empire
yeah.
7.
Yeah.
And this was about 2015, 14.
Okay, yeah.
And to this day, it's a beauty.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah,
that's one of my, I want to say, pride possessions, because I think at that time, it's a really large piece. It's a beautiful piece, and I really started to fall in love with the artistry of what are the. I love the storytelling, but the depths of that piece that Sam did is amazing.
Yeah.
So
cool. Right on. So that's cool. So then, growing up, you kind of had this kind of like influence of art. You were already making a gallery in your room in a way, right?
Yes.
But where did you grow up? Like, what artists were you connected to in the community? Because I know Scape was part of that first building.
I'll get to the Scape.
Because
that's an interesting story. It's actually a really cool story. But I grew up in East San Jose.
High school and stuff?
I went to Piedmont Hills. Piedmont Hills High School.
Okay.
And then played football, wrestled, all those fun things. And then gravitated towards De Anza Junior College. Then got a scholarship for football and went to St. Mary's College at the time when they had a football program. But
cool. What position did you play?
I was a linebacker.
Okay, all right.
I was one of the smallest linebackers on the West Coast for Division I.
Oh, yeah?
So that shows you a lot about...
You ran under the legs of everybody.
Yes, I did, exactly. Played special teams. I was the wedge breaker. So
a lot
of people ask me, like, my personality trait is, like, is very, very go-getter, you know?
Yeah. Run through, yeah.
But it's funny because I remember I didn't have the best grades. And in my senior year, when I was getting ready to go out to college, you know, it was right after the football season, you know, my dad takes me on a ride. My parents are awesome. My parents are still here, still alive. They're great.
Yeah, awesome.
And so my dad takes me on a drive and he says, you know, we got to have kind of a heart to heart. I was like, well, what's the heart to heart? You know,
oh, no.
I got to move out.
Yeah. He's kicking you out of the house.
And my dad's a construction worker. You know, my dad was a day laborer. And so my mom was staying at home and I said, well, what do we got to do? What's going on? And he says, well, you got two choices. You either go to the military.
Oh,
or you go to junior college,
right?
And you continue your dream, and you don't have to get out of the house, you don't have to find a job,
yeah.
But you just got to work hard in one of those fields.
Yeah,
do something.
Yeah.
And so it was an eye opener to me because I never really thought about the financial cost to go to college.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
totally.
and my dream was to get a football scholarship, and that reality drifted away. You know, with not having the grades. I was a great athlete. You know, I was a good athlete, but I didn't have the grades to go with it.
Yeah.
And so. It was a very important time in my life because I realized I got to really work.
Yeah.
And then once I went to junior college, you know, I was the fourth guy on the depth chart. And they looked at me and they're like, you're so undersized. Good luck, you know. But it's funny thing. Yeah. So anyhow, that's another story.
So does De Anza have a football program?
They still do.
They have a football team. Okay.
Yeah.
So you played there and then you transferred over.
To St. Mary's.
To St. Mary's.
After
okay.
2 years.
Yeah. With a scholarship?
With a scholarship.
Cool. Right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So that was a fun time. Unfortunately, I tore my ACL my senior year.
Oh, yeah.
And so that ended my football career, you know. But then immediately I was already kind of doing an internship in real estate.
Yeah.
So I just fell in love with it and can kind of continued on that career. But
Were you running into artists during that time? Or when?
No,
yeah, when
I was completely
kind of like...
disconnected from art. Honestly, I was fully vested. I was an athlete. I eat and breathe. My buddies, everybody I hung out with, we were athletes, you know.
Yeah.
We were in college and playing sports and having good times.
Yeah.
But going back to high school, you know, a lot of my friends were graffiti writers, you know, and they're still locally, and they'll say some of their names, but they're still out active, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But they were my buddies. I would watch them underneath the bridge, you know.
Did you ever do it a little bit too? Or
it's terrible.
Oh yeah.
The funny story is anytime I tried, they would always call me a toy.
Oh, you
know,
really?
Yeah, the toy meaning that you're terrible, you know, give it up. And so I didn't have the patience, but I loved watching. I loved being around it. You know, I still remember good times watching them paint and listening to hip hop music underneath the bridge, you know, and just hanging out, being kids.
Yeah, totally.
But I really took to sports, and that was my thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was all the way through college.
Yeah, you know.
And like I said, it wasn't until my mid-20s that I started to gravitate towards back to art.
Yeah. And so you started kind of collecting pieces, and then, then what was the kind of like turning point to get you to start doing the pop-ups? And
actually, and that. So it goes back to that Reed Street project with Skate Martinez. So I started buying real estate as well, you know, in my mid-20s, not just selling real estate, but acquiring property.
Awesome.
And one of the first properties I purchased was on Reed Street, East Reed Street. And I went to Lowell Elementary School for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So until second grade. So I was like, oh, this is my old little neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, so when I bought the Reed Street property, I bought it in I think, 2006.
Okay.
And it was a fourplex, really cute, original. It was like 1905.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, long story short, I wanted to sell it and move my investment dollars. And so at the time, I was like, okay, maybe I'll just paint it. And you never take care of it like you do some your clients' properties. My clients' properties, I go, we got to go do all these things and make it presentable. Yeah, in my own, I was like, I'll just paint it and sell it.
Didn't want to put the time.
So my office at the time was like, hey, you know, maybe you should do something different besides painting it. And so I started looking on the internet. I came across some townhouses in Brooklyn and Harlem.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what they were doing is they were putting murals, like, on the garage door and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is awesome. You know, maybe I'll do that. And so I did. There was a gentleman at the time in the office, and he's a young guy, and he goes, hey, you know, I'll take the lead, and I'll put an ad out there, and I'll look for somebody.
Yeah.
And he did. So he comes to me, and he says, hey, I found this artist, Skate Martinez. Like, oh, I don't know him, but I know of him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, cool, set up the meeting. So Scape comes to the office, and we start talking. I told him I want to do something really special. It was a commission. You know, I paid this artist to do this.
Yeah.
And so before we leave, I say, hey, look, let's come up with an idea, and that'll be what it is for the project. And he says, cool, you write something down, I write something down. We meet a week later. We slide a paper across each other's table. We flip it over, and it said culture. We both had the same thing.
Yeah, awesome.
And so that's just what it was. And
it
both meant something to us in different ways, but it ultimately was the same thing. You know, with a lot of the regentrification and things happening, it was like, you know, let's keep our culture alive.
Yeah.
You know? And so, that's where it started. And it was a 3-day mural project. I hired a DJ and I invited all the kids from Lowell Elementary to come out. We ordered pizzas and they actually got a chance to watch the mural happen and Scape got to interact with them.
Yeah.
And so to me, that was the time that I looked at that scenario and said, you know what, I want to do something with this more than just on this garage. You know, and my vision is to possibly get more involved in the arts and maybe do something with artists, you know, and keep this going. And so that's really where I think the spark, the imagination started to happen. But the funny story with Scape, and most people don't know this as well, is when he came to that meeting, we were talking, and I'm like, this guy looks so familiar, and he acts just like some people I know. And so we're getting ready to leave, and I said, hey, I know your name's Scape, but what's your last name? He says, Martinez. And I was like, oh. And I said, do you know the Martinezes? And he says, well, which ones, you know? And I said, Maria, Bubba. And I started dropping all these names that are my cousins through marriage. It was my uncle's second marriage. And he goes, Maria is my sister. said, you look just like Bubba. He goes, Bubba's my nephew. Their mannerisms.
Cool.
But we were related. I had no idea.
And
so at that point, we shook hands and we're like, we're doing this project. Doesn't matter what it's going to be.
But, same word, same family.
I mean, it fell in line. And like a lot of the things that are happening today in One Culture is exactly that. It's just organically happening. You know, the intention is there. But the right people are coming across our way, you know, for the greater good, whatever you want to call it. But it's all falling in line purposely, you know. So
that's cool. So then, what was some of the first pop-ups that you did? What did you do? Like, how far was that from the Reed project?
It was pretty far out. So that happened in 2000. The Reed project with Skate Martinez happened in 2015. And then right before COVID, right around COVID, is when I did the first pop-up. The first pop-up I ever did was actually in Modesto. My cousin, he actually has a taco truck. It's Poo Spot. And they do barbecue tacos, great food. He lives out in Modesto. And so when I told him the idea, even he told me, he says, you know what you're getting yourself into? And you know, he goes, you know what? Come to Modesto and I'm going to show you how to set up the tent. And they literally showed me. I didn't know how to set up a tent. Tables, how to But I still remember like it was yesterday. I went to the, that pop-up, and it was at a corner on Orangeburg in this kind of rough neighborhood gas station. And I remember the neighborhood coming out. They're eating tacos. I was right next to them. And they were so interested in the art.
Yeah.
And I started literally talking about the artist's work and what, you know, what the story was behind the artwork.
Yeah.
And really connecting to the community. And to me, I didn't sell a whole lot. I think I maybe made $20, you know. Yeah. But I connected with the community in a different way that I never have before.
Yeah.
You know, selling real estate doesn't give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
And really sharing the stories of these artists. And so for me, I was kind of drawn to that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I think that's what started. Is I remember going home and I didn't have any money to cover the gas. You know, I was like, I didn't make anything. But it wasn't all peachy. I remember after doing that about 6 months, I was going to quit. I was like, this isn't for
How
me.
Often were you doing the pop-ups?
Like, I was doing it about twice a month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it gets tiring.
Yeah, Carlos Rodriguez, good friend of mine. He had pop-ups at his space and other friends of mine that were telling me about these pop-ups around San Jose, and that's where I was going, you know, here on South First Street.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember it's tiresome.
Yeah.
It's really hard work, you know. And so after about 6 months, I was like, this isn't adding up for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I took about a month off and same thing. I remember having a conversation with Carlos. He probably doesn't know this, but I remember having a conversation with Carlos and, you know, he's like, this is what it's about. You know, it's hard work.
Yeah.
You go out there and sometimes you do really well and sometimes you don't. And I remember asking him like, and you come back home and you got to create. And he's like, yeah, I got to create, you know? And in a way that gave me the second boost, I said, you know, if they can do it and I quit, you know, then who, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know?
And so you were just doing these pop-ups. Were the artists coming with you or you were like
all by myself?
You were bringing their work, acquiring, almost like repping them.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly. And so it was like a pop-up art collective, you know?
Yeah.
So I would reach out to several artists and say, hey, you know, would you like to, maybe give me 5 prints. And so I was curating my own outside gallery because handpicking the people, the artist. But that's how it was. And then whatever I would sell, you know, we would do a commission split.
Yeah.
And a lot of times some of them are like, you can just keep it, you know. I mean, it took you 4 months to sell, you know, just keep it.
They thought it was lost already.
Yeah. And what was really cool is there was artists that I bought artwork from in New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles. When I traveled, that were sending their artwork to me as well,
right on,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I would sell it, they'd be like, just keep it, you know, put it towards the cause.
Yeah, that's
and awesome. And little things like that allowed me to keep myself mentally, emotionally in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because I felt like me not coming from the art world, you feel very disconnected at times, you know, of like, hey, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Is this the path you go down?
Yeah.
So I'm just figuring it out as I go, you know?
So then how could you're doing, and you know the struggle of that, then what would give you the cojones to decide to do a brick and mortar and open a gallery? I mean, like,
It still gives me chills. It still gives me chills because when I started this, I never really visually thought about having a gallery. It sounded like the end game, you know, but I was like, oh, you know, this is fine. It wasn't until after that second leg that I had where I felt rejuvenated and said, you know, I could do this, that I knew by making the second attempt that I couldn't sustain doing a pop-up, that a lot of the artists, it's not the quality of art, but it's how it's being presented. Really what I felt.
So if it's in a gas station or something with a... it just doesn't have the seriousness maybe or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And a lot of these pop-up festivals are great for artists to get out there. But I started to look around and I'm like, is there another opportunity for a lot of these artists to be showcased and platformed?
You know,
because the talent is there.
Right.
I've seen the talent. I've been around talent. Yeah. I've looked at it. So how can I help with
that? And also, too, the artists that you were kind of doing the pop-ups were they actually – were the museums and galleries doors opening up for them, or they were just doing kind of more
just
markets and fairs and stuff like that?
Markets and fairs. Yeah. I would say probably 1 out of 10 was getting showcased. So, you know, 90% of them were still struggling to get into space.
Yeah. So did you see that too then? Like having a legit kind of gallery would elevate them as far as what the art world sees them too. Was that part of the kind of like vision or something?
Absolutely. Or, So when I started to kind of fill that out, I was like, you know, if there's a space, if you build it, they will come. Right. I was like, if there's a space, then I really feel like these artists can get shown in their highest light and buyers, collectors can see them and feel them and hear their story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very different than, and doing that at a pop-up. To get back to that is, it was probably about 2021, December 2021, that I decided to say, you know, can I find a space? And because of my real estate background, it's funny is I was working on a transaction. I bought an apartment complex on North 6th Street.
Okay.
And that broker I've known for years, Jerry Wong. She's not around here. Yeah. A good friend of mine. She's amazing. I can't say anything, you know, enough about her, right? But she's been a friend of mine, and so I started telling her that I wanted to do this this art, you know, have this art gallery, and she referred me a few spaces, and so that's what happened. We found the right spot, and she helped with that. You know, she helped place me in that location, and I remember, gosh, when I got the keys, I was so excited again.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know if you know, but it was an old salon. Where One Culture is 136 East Santa Clara. It was an old salon that went vacant for like 2 years. And so there was everything set up for a salon. It was really ran down. And so I got the keys and I was excited. And that area is, you know, has its troubles. So I remember being there and every day was we were doing the renovation, you know, escorting people off and cleaning up the place. And once again, I was like, I don't know if this is the right spot to open up a gallery.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, it must have been at the beginning of April when we started doing the renovation. It was a Sunday afternoon and the doors were closed. The contractors left, and I was standing in front of the window and I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do this.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I said, you know, I don't know if it feels right. It's just there's a lot of cleanup that's been happening. Yeah. I don't know if this is the right place to showcase people, because my intent was let's get them out of the pop-ups and show them in a great location in a spot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there was a row of lowriders that were cruising by. I didn't even see them, but I seen them in the window. So if you're at One Culture and you look at the window, you could see the reflection. And I seen a row of lowriders come in, the Mexican flag, and I looked at it, and it was like looking at who I was, my reflection.
Cool.
I kid you not. Yeah, and I was like, no,
gotta go.
This
for
is
it.
The right spot.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the spot. Because as a kid, I used to, from 12 years old up, you know, cruise on that block with all my cousins. And so at that moment, I said, this is the right spot.
Yeah.
And so we went through with it, and here we are.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
There's a lot of little stories that people
don't
know.
Yeah, like, that's cool. I mean, well, it's cool to see, like, you know, just the thing, too, is, like, nothing, you know, the success and all that kind of stuff is always with doubt, right, and struggles and hard times and all that kind of stuff.
Totally.
So, okay, so now you've been doing it for, is it a year?
Yeah. It's been a little over a year,
Yeah, a little over a year. And you've had how many different exhibitions in there?
We had a total of there's seven group shows, and then one individual show. And I haven't calculated the exact numbers, but I was talking to our team, and over the last 14 months, if you included all the events we participated in, including the gallery, we have showcased close to 500 artists.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it was never a matter of counting. But until they brought it to my attention after the fairgrounds, they said, you know, we're approaching the artists involved close to 500 artists. And I was like, wow, you know, and you don't think about it when you're in it, you know, that we've helped 500 artists get showcased in some way or another.
You know, that's cool. So, what's the, I mean, if we, you don't have to get into the exact numbers, but, you know, you got the rent of the place and you're selling art to make the rent. How's it working financially? This is pretty much your passion project, right? You're taking profits from your real estate business and throwing it. Are you seeing sales you know, is it, how's the spreadsheet, I guess?
No, I'll be completely transparent.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious because it's hard, you know.
It's hard. The numbers don't add up. If we were a corporation, we'd be closed.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But I am taking funds from my real estate business and funding this project. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people ask, how come you don't go nonprofit? You know, and with nonprofit, there's so many great things you could do. For me, I like to keep the business as a profitable, what we call profitable business.
Yeah.
Is really it's about the hustle, about the grind, about making it, you know. And so it's been really tough, you know. We have not turned a profit, you know, and it's taxing.
Yeah.
We only get paid when we sell art.
Right.
And so.
Because you're not charging the artists to be in the space or anything like that.
No, we're not charging the artists to be in the space. We have a commission split that we get paid, and upon sale, we get paid.
Yeah.
But artists know how tough that can be.
Yeah.
You know, so. Totally. You go from putting on the event, from marketing and all these things, paying the folks that are involved, that it's really tough. And so for me now, I'm really trying to restructure and really understand what are we doing here together at One Culture. You know, as when you're an artist coming into our space, what is your true intent? You know, because it cannot be a place to show and tell. We're here to show and sell.
Yeah.
And there's a different mindset in that. You know, we're not a museum.
Yeah.
And totally. So, you know.
Which I think is good. I mean, I think that's challenging for the arts community because I think it makes them step up their game, I would think, right?
Because exactly.
It's not.
Exactly. And that's what it's about. It's about elevating. And as I traveled, you know, across the country, and I've spoke to other curators and gallery owners. You know what I asked this question to a lot of the owners and curators, and how do you get into your gallery? These are some pretty recognizable galleries. How do you get into your gallery? And they gave me two answers.
Yeah.
And so I tell lots of the artists that come in, I said, one is you go to a really good school, you get recommended by a professor. And, you know, and they work you through the system and they help you and that's how you get in.
Yeah.
The second is numbers.
Oh yeah.
A gallery will not showcase you in their gallery if your portfolio does not have accurate, consistent numbers.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they'll look at your sales records and say, okay, well, you were in how many galleries? You were in how many cities? You were in, what is your log like?
Yeah.
And when I listened to that, they said, majority of that goes to independent artists. That's how we saw, because that was the question. I said, well, how, if you're an independent artist and you're self-taught and you didn't go through those curriculums,
right?
How do you get in? And they said, it's numbers. Show us that you can sell your work.
Yeah.
Show us that you can hustle. Show us that you can put yourself in different places.
Yeah.
And so when I came back from New York and Miami and so the, I took that information and I stressed that upon a lot of the artists, you know.
Yeah.
You wanna not be only in One Culture and you wanna grow in the business. It's not me creating that. That's what the system is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're just trying to help them understand that and hopefully translate that into them growing outside of the Bay Area.
Then I mean, I think it's great. I think that you're doing, I mean, One Culture is a, in some ways, it's a community service, right? And it's as far as it's like building community and it's helping the artists grow. But how do you feel then just about that, the business of art then? Like, how do you, are you struggling internally with it or?
Yes, every day. You know, because like, for me, I'm struggling with it because I could see it and touch it and feel it. You know, I could see that there's margins there for artists and there's opportunities for artists. Like any creative or any business owner, entrepreneur, you try to find out what's the formula.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm struggling with what's the formula.
Right.
And I was just actually talking to somebody not too long ago and they were like, well, you've done all these things in a short period of time. You must have the, you didn't say those words, but you must have the answers. And I said, actually, you know, for me, I really do struggle with, am I doing the right thing? Am I going down the right path? Because I hold myself accountable to the numbers.
Yeah.
If we're not turning a profit,
yeah,
then I'm failing the artist.
Yeah.
And that's just my personality, you know? And so.
Well, it's different. And that's a different point of view. That's, you're definitely seeing yourself. I mean, doing the pop-ups, you've been serving the artist, right? Rather than trying to serve your gallery name or your pocketbook, right? So that's a good standard for you to have. Like, if you don't, if it's not something, you're not helping the artist. That's a pretty good, I respect that.
Thank you.
Like perspective, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, you, for me, that's where I'm saying, okay, so what's the formula? And to answer your question, I struggle with it every day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to maneuver things. And so, well, hopefully we'll find it out soon, but we are in the land of innovation, you know? We're just taking art innovation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you look at history, though, art has always been kind of like, and artists have always been kind of like exposed and grown and gotten notoriety because of people like you, right? Who've seen the need for it, and they've contributed their own time and their finances to support the artist, support the visibility of it.
Right.
And then that kind of creates it. So you could take someone like Carlos, mm-hmm. right? And because you're kind of helping him get exposure, more exposure than he already has, that is directly benefiting his life and his work. And then at the same time, it's helping San Jose local art scene too, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's the mission is really, I think you said it, and that's the next phase for me is to really make San Jose an art destination.
Yeah.
You know, I started doing pop-ups. You open the gallery, we're helping artists.
Yeah.
And now I see it bigger than the brick and mortars.
Right.
You know, as being an art destination city within the Bay Area and beyond, where people can come here and feel inspired, you know, and go, gosh, you know, I didn't know that this creative place exists. They think of Silicon Valley, but a lot of times they don't think about the art community and the culture that's here, you know. And so my family's been here for 85 plus years.
Man,
you know,
wow.
my grandmother, my grandparents were farm workers, and then cannery workers, construction workers.
Yeah.
We went through the cycle of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And my cousins are in the tech business.
Yeah.
You know, so when people say San Jose, I'm like, we literally lived it, you know. I tell you, my dad went to San Jose High.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
My mom went to Lincoln.
Okay, yeah.
You can't get any more San
Jose. Yeah, those are the oldest high schools in town.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're rivals, but and so I pride myself on that is being from San Jose, you know. So my objective is to really help San Jose itself understand a little bit. And like I said, I don't have all the answers, but from a perspective to understand who we are as a culture, I think that's right now what we're battling with a little bit is, you know, we're in the land of millionaires and billionaires, as we always talk about.
Yeah.
We don't see any of those folks buying local art.
Right.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And not to say that they won't, and they but in the future is how do we breed these two cultures together? Because you really have an economic and social difference.
Yeah.
And so what we're really trying to do is figure out our space as a community.
Yeah.
You know, how do we all fit in together? How do we all make this work? Because in one end you have people that aren't that far removed from the cannery life.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then on this side, you have the richest people in the world.
Right.
Right. Within our county.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that, it's like, well, we're all still living together.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yeah. But they don't necessarily meet and
and mesh.
Well, it's funny, too, because you talk about you were doing it for profit rather than nonprofit. If you're doing nonprofit, it's the same scenario, right? There's still the disconnect that the tech workers are getting paid money. They're not contributing to the arts necessarily. They might, if they're a musician, they might be into that kind of thing, but they're not being exposed to the fuller culture of San Jose. So the hustle, nonprofit or profit, is still the same struggle. What would you say, though, if you were looking at it, how would you categorize the culture and the art culture of San Jose? Like, what would be some of the words, ideas that you come up with?
Gosh, that's a good question. I haven't really spent a lot of time on that, but
but you're tapping into it. I mean, you definitely have your finger on the pulse of some of the stuff.
I do. So one of the things before I and also guide into that answer is what I realized, because I like to take a step back and like look at everything. That's just who I am. And one of the things I noticed is there was a disconnect of people understanding the history of San Jose.
Okay.
And when I say history, I'm talking about artists.
Yeah.
Most people didn't know that Nexus was the creator of 3D graffiti.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's from San Jose.
Yeah.
You know, he lives in New Jersey now, but Nexus King 157 is a huge legend throughout the world. Is from East San Jose. And I'm going to get a little off topic, but yeah, Jim Plunkett,
you know,
I was having a conversation not too long ago, and I was like, Jim Plunkett, you know, how do we not have a mural of Jim Plunkett? You know, he went to James Lick.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to Stanford. He was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, that's right.
Played for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Won a Super Bowl, was a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
There's only one mural of Jim Plunkett, and it's in East Los Angeles. And I don't know if it's still there.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have anything at James Lick or anything
Zero.
Like that? Zero. Really?
And so the point to this is, as we're as our community is growing, I really feel that there's a need to go back, not into time, but to recognize these important figures that are so important to our city.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has been lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
there is the funny disconnect, and you see that with so many different things. If different subcultures, if it's biking, if it's skating, if it's hip hop, if it's whatever, they're like all these people that are from San Jose. And then they go out and they don't get recognized for being in San Jose. And then San Jose doesn't even celebrate them because it's kind of like, nah, you left us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when you go to like Brooklyn or you go to these other cities, even though some of those artists have left those cities,
they still celebrate them.
And I feel like there's a lack of celebration amongst our history. And that's one of the things I want to do is bring that back and really highlight a lot of those important figures.
Yeah.
To get to the question is like, you know, what do I see our city or as far as the art community?
Yeah.
I really feel like we're on the verge of having us all come together. I really do feel that way. I feel like I'm seeing it now. You're seeing artists interact a lot more than before.
Yeah.
And I feel like that story hasn't been actually written.
Yeah.
And
it's unfolded.
So, you know, I think it's going to actually unfold in front of us and develop over the next few years.
Yeah.
But I see it happening. I can't say that we're certain anything, but I can say that we're starting to create our own path.
Yeah.
It's happening now.
Yeah. You know? That's the thing. There's so much going on. Even if you look back, like when we started the magazine 10 years ago, there was only a few, you know, Collide, Empire 7 had just kind of started, but then with Local Color and even, you know, like, One Culture with so many different kind of things, School of Visual Philosophy, like there's a lot of kind of things. Even though the Citadel was there and the Alameda Artworks, there, it was still kind of like separate and people were in their own little kind of like isolation. Now there seems like to be so much more synergy. People know each other and connecting and stuff.
Yeah, I could see it and feel it, you know. I mean, some of the artists that were in our gallery this past year are now being showcased in multiple galleries.
Yeah.
And multiple events, and that's great to see. You know, some of them will call me and it's you know, for me, that's the gratification. And unfortunately, we're not making any money, but what we are, we're making a difference.
Yeah.
And I'll get a call from an artist and they go, dude, now I'm in this show and now I'm in that, and you know, and thank you so much.
Right.
And to me, that warms my heart.
Yeah.
It's priceless. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's cool. So then, what's next? I mean, like you talked about a little bit. So, and I know that you're going to Brooklyn. I know you're going to Miami. You're taking some art. Last year, you went. Tell us a little bit about that and how that fits into One Culture's kind of mission and plan.
Yeah. So once we opened up the gallery last year, I went to Brooklyn. Oh, I went to New York. My niece was graduating from Columbia. And so I go to Brooklyn. And as I get off the bridge, I walk down and I see this collective that I follow. And so I go down into the collective. They're having an art show. And I meet the owner and the curators. And so we started talking, and I'm just a huge fan. They have a lot of graph artists and just kind of more of an urban vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And so we became friends instantly, you know, and actually he became a mentor. You know, I remember having a conversation with him, and he says, you're doing a great job with One Culture. You know, we're only two shows in. And he said, but do you mind if I give you some advice, you know? And I said, you mean be a mentor? And he goes, well, I don't want to call myself a mentor, but I said, absolutely, you know? So his name's Frankie Velez.
Okay.
He's a curator from Brooklyn, and he's been a curator for 25 years.
Okay, awesome.
And so and his fiance Mickey Moo. She's also an artist and curator. And so anyhow, they he calls me up in September of last year, and he says, "Hey, we had a cancellation at our mural festival. It's the first annual Bed-Stuy Mural Festival over on Lexington Avenue, where yeah. Spike Lee had his annual block party, and they actually filmed the movie Do the Right Thing right on that block."
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's like, "Would you be interested in bringing out one of your artists?" And I didn't have the words, but I was like, "Just yes." So immediately, I couldn't think of anybody else. I was like, "I'm going to call Carlos Rodriguez." You know, I think he's an amazing artist. I love his work. So I called Carlos and I'm like, "Hey, do you think you would want to go to Brooklyn?" And before I finished it, he was like, "Get our flights," you know?
Yeah, right.
And so me and
him. He goes by, and then it's Reyes Muertos or something.
Yes, and that's his clothing brand.
Yeah.
And his branding, just his mission and what he's doing is great. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of him personally, and then also his brand. But Carlos did something really special when we went out there, and a lot of people are barely finding out what happened a year later.
Yeah.
But we went out there on a short notice. It was about 3-week notice. And so it was October of last year. We go out there. We had no pain. We had no nothing. We just showed up. And Carlos had an idea of what he wanted to do. He wanted to actually really empower the women that are in that community. There's a lot of single mothers in that community.
Yeah.
And so when we got there, after he touched the wall and he really felt it out, he said, "I know exactly what I'm going to do." And so we went out there and he put up this beautiful mural. He even had some of the young girls and the daughters actually paint the mural with him.
Cool. Right.
But it was awesome. And amongst the peers, he won Best in Show.
Yeah.
You know, little awesome. San Jose, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And there was a celebrity artist across the board and great folks. We met a lot of good contacts. And I jumped right in and, you know, asked, "Hey, you guys need any help?" And so I just started helping with, you know, whether paint needed here or whatever, you know, and me and Frankie build a really good relationship, a friendship.
Yeah.
And immediately, I remember the last night we're in at one of the artist studio in Dumbo. And so there's so many things that are so cool about that trip, but, he's like, "Hey, we're going to Art Basel in a few months in December. Would you want to come?" And I'm like, "Yeah, well, what do I got to do?" And he says, "Well, you know, we're going to go to all these galleries and stuff." I said, "Are we going to paint? You know, is anyone going to paint?" And he's like, "No, no one's going to paint. We're just going to go there and have a good time and meet people." And I was like, "All right, cool."
Yeah.
So me being me, I have access through my real estate services anywhere in the country, building owner, I can look at
find out who they are.
Or brokers or what have you, right? Yeah. And so I kept thinking about it. I'm like, it would be really. So I called Carlos and I was like, "Hey, if we go to Miami, would you want to paint?" And he's like, "Of course I want to paint." What are you thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, "Well, I'm going to call around and see if we can." So at the time, I told Lou Jimenez, who was working with us at the time, I said, "Lou, go onto Google Maps and let's
look at the walls.
Look at all the walls.
So go down the streets with Google Maps."
No kidding. That's exactly what we did. So we went down. We literally took a virtual tour through Google Maps and we isolated all the walls. Gave me the addresses, and every morning I would wake up because it's 3 hours ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
I would cold call.
Yeah.
Just like real estate.
Yeah.
People don't know, but I still cold call. Like,
yeah, yeah, sure.
Old school for business. So I started cold calling, and for those of you who don't know what a cold call is, it means that you've never spoken to the person before. You literally call them and introduce yourself. And so I cold called, and I did it for months on end. And I told Frankie, I said, "Hey, I'm trying to get a wall." And he's like, "Good luck." I did get a lot of walls offered to me. And most people don't know in Art Basel, it's a street art festival, mural festival, whatever you want to call it. One of the biggest in the world. They charge for walls. It's like $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, depending on location. Yeah. So people are like, "Sure, it's $10,000 for
you
this
wall. Rent it out.
You can rent it out."
Yeah, yeah.
And it's only good for 30 days or until someone damages it. And you're like, awesome.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I could tell Frankie, "Hey, I'm trying to get a wall." And he's like, "Good luck."
Yeah.
And it was a week before we went out there, a building owner called me and said, "Hey, you really want the wall?" And I said, "Yeah, I've been calling." And he says, "It's yours. No fees, no nothing.
Sweet.
It's your wall." And so I called Carlos and we're ecstatic. And I said, "You know, what do you think?" And me and Carlos came up with the idea of offering half the wall or doing a collaboration with our folks in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
And so we called them up and we told them the plan and they were ecstatic and they're like, "Let's do this," you know? And so that's what happened. That's awesome. Went out to Art Basel together, and they did a collaboration. He did a collaboration with two other artists, Craig Anthony and MBC, which are two amazing artists from New York. And they did, you know, their collaboration. But
that's cool.
It was awesome. It was a great experience. Yeah.
And then now you're going back again.
Yeah. So,
this year, right?
Or... Yeah. So we were invited back to Bed-Stuy. Yeah. And that actually takes place September 30th. So we're actually going out to Brooklyn, New York City. And this year we have three artists. So we have Nexus, who lives out in New Jersey now. So he'll be there representing One Culture. We have King 157.
Okay. All right.
And then we have Akeem Rahim.
Akeem Rahim. Okay.
He's actually at Nirvana Soul. He has a couple pieces in there now. And he was in one of our shows. An amazing talent was... and his early age was a graffiti artist in Detroit before he moved here and went to college.
Oh, cool.
But he's awesome. He's been invited. So we have an all-star lineup.
Yeah.
But we have three artists from San Jose that are going out to Brooklyn to represent our city and represent our gallery. So that's super exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And
and that's going to be September?
September 30th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And with Bed-Stuy Walls as well as the... For them, they raise all their funds. They're not a nonprofit. They just raise money to they pay this out of the community who participates.
Yeah, cool.
And so we're also a sponsor. You think it's really great to interact with some of these other communities that I really feel are very similar to San Jose. You know? Believe it or not, Brooklyn is almost identical to San Jose in so many different ways. That's another conversation, you know. But yeah, we're going to go out to Brooklyn, and from there we're leaning towards going to we'll be going to Art Basel, but actually doing a production there as well. And we're not really sure. We're going to talk about the details.
Yeah.
But that production most likely will be a combination of New York artist and Bay Area artist.
Yeah.
And we would be leading that Bay Area artist. Yeah.
Dang, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it's so you're pretty cool, excited. Right? Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, when you're in it, you know, you're just like, you want to make sure everything goes to plan.
You know?
It's not until after.
Yeah.
A few months later where you're like, that was amazing.
Yeah. But so then like, okay, so I mean, this is crazy. I mean, like you were just like cold calling. I mean, so, I mean, I guess the advice you would give somebody who had an idea or whatever is just like to just go for it, right? I mean, you already said that was your kind of like linebacker mentality, right? So busting through. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of lessons in that, right? It's just like, you know, the change has got to be you making it happen, right? I mean.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you got to really sit with yourself and take full responsibility of like, hey, you know. It's nice to have people helping me, but this is my thing, you know? And so I think you really got to go out and make your own way. There are going to be people there to help you, you know? And I tell a lot of the artists that, you know, I'm here to help. But I can't change everything, you know, you got to really do everything on your own and I'll do whatever I can, you know? But 100%, you know, you got to be a self-starter, you know? You're going to get no's. Everyone tells you that, you know, but honestly, you know, you're going to have those rough days. Trust me. I have them, you know, I have them in my real estate business. I have them in this business. I have them in my family, you know, but stay the course, you know, and know that is a temporary feeling.
Yeah.
Really to how you really, you know, if you really are passionate about something and you really, really want it, that's just temporary. Yeah. You know, those are those feelings you're going to get. It's normal.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Don't give up just because of that.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Then if you were to, how would you identify yourself? Are you Andrew Espino, the real estate, I don't know what you call it,
real estate broker?
Broker. Are you the artist rep, One Culture gallery owner? Like, what would be the way, what would be like if, you know, if you were to say, if you look at your life right now, you're like, I am this.
That's a good question. So I just went to I went to LA this past weekend and I went to an event with Chicano Hollywood, and that's another great organization. But I was there and some of the actors and some of the people that were there came up to me. Who are you? A producer? Are you an agent? And they said, "What do you do?" And for the first time, really in my career, I'm very assertive. Like, hey, I'm a real estate broker. You know, that's what I do. I take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of a real estate broker and I'm a curator and I'm an art. And they were like, whoa, this is crazy. I don't know. I always say I'm a real estate broker. For me, that's still my passion.
Sure.
I love putting together a transaction and a deal.
Yeah.
That's my art. You know, like I said, I didn't come from money or anything like that. So I had to really find how to be creative and buy real estate with no money. And that was one of, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it's a whole other conversation. But
we're going to do your real estate seminar some other time.
I could tell you stories about that to this day, I mean, has given me the motivation and the mindset to really follow through.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you do not have a choice when you sign up for some of these things. Yeah. You have to follow through.
Yeah.
But that goes just back to my parents, you know, and a good family of of raising me to say, you follow through on what you say you're going to do, you know. Yeah. But to answer your question, I don't know exactly, but I'd say a real estate broker, you know, as well as an entrepreneur and gallery owner, you know. But I don't know. I don't know if
you could do all the. I mean, I could see that. But I think in Hollywood, if you say real estate broker, they like that too, right?
Yeah. It was just like, it was really weird because I was like, then the next person, I was like, I'm a curator. The next, they're like, this guy's told us like five different things, you know?
You should change a little hat.
But
that's cool. Yeah, yeah. What would you say? If you looked at one culture and what you're doing 5 years from now, what would be like the success for you?
Really seeing San Jose thrive in the art world, in the Bay Area and beyond.
Yeah.
I would love, you know, one day for folks from all over the country to come here and say, I'm coming to San Jose to actually see some amazing art, or to come to these amazing art events.
Yeah.
There's some secret sauce there that I want to go there and get inspired.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be doing this for the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I'll tell you what I am going to do when I retire, though. I am going to be a football coach.
Oh, yeah.
I tell everyone that. I coached high school football. I coached at Piedmont Hills and Evergreen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you coached baseball.
No, never baseball. Oh, well, my son's Little League team. It counts. It doesn't count. But I legitimately was, in 2005, I was a high school coach at Piedmont Hills. The defensive line coach, and then I spent some years there, and then Evergreen. Yeah. I went to Evergreen. It was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I love
Evergreen football. High School or
Evergreen
college?
High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Evergreen High School. And so, yeah, I coached, and I coached the Charlie Woodmeyer game. I was invited to be the all-star coach.
Yeah, wow.
That was pretty cool. But I will be a high school football coach. I know, or junior college.
Yeah.
That's kind of like eventually where I want to drift to and enjoy the, you know, the final years.
Being a coach.
Yeah, but I don't know how long I'll be, you know, running a gallery or doing these things.
Yeah.
I don't have intentions to say, hey, you know, for the next 20 years, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Are
you just kind of like seeing this opportunity and seasoning it and you want to kind of like spark it and then you would kind of like step back? Is that what you're kind of thinking?
You know, at this, for me, I feel this is my purpose.
Yeah.
And so right now for the time being that this is my purpose. And my purpose is to help artists grow within my community, whether that's San Jose or the Latin community or the Bay Area community and beyond.
Yeah.
That's my purpose. Yeah. And I don't know how long that's going to be. Yeah. You know, it could be 20 years.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm happy and content with what I'm doing and where it's headed.
Yeah.
And maybe there's going to be some amazing youngster that comes and says, hey, Andrew,
step
aside and let me do it. And that would be something to me that would be fulfilling.
Yeah.
For, you know, that to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for folks to join in and say, hey, you know what? Hand me those keys.
Yeah.
I want to make something special of this. And that's to me, like, that gets me fired up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, also, I'm super excited. Thank you for what you're doing. I mean, it's just awesome to see one culture kind of like pop up and then the incredible exhibitions that you've had and then what you're doing with, you know, in Brooklyn and Art Basel and all that kind of stuff. It's super cool. So thanks what you're doing for the art community. Like, yeah, we really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
And then how do people find One Culture? Tell it to the
So One Culture, we have our website, of course. It's oneculture.artgallery.com. But you can find us on Instagram. Instagram is oneculture_. And so Facebook, same thing, but Instagram would be the best way. You'll find all our shows. In fact, we have a show this weekend that's going to be super special. It's called Ribe, and it's hosted by Priscilla Marquez.
Okay.
It's curated by her. It's an all-female lineup.
Right on.
20 awesome. Artists from all over the country.
Cool.
And so we have that show. And then
that's opening up?
This Saturday.
Which, when we're recording this, this is, I don't know what.
Oh, well, it'll be September 16th.
Okay, September 16th through?
It's a three-week show. Okay. I think it's, what is it? I forget.
So whatever, 3 weeks from the 16th.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the 30th, September 30th,
okay.
when we head out to Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
And then on October 14th, we're putting together a Halloween show.
Oh, okay.
And so Messenger will actually be
curating
that.
Right on.
So we're working right now. We're working on all the logistics and getting all this stuff. And so that's going to be a really fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
yeah,
but you can find us on Instagram at oneculture_.
And if you want to buy a building.
Yes, that I can help you with.
Yeah.
And before I go, that is going to be another segment. I really want to help artists understand financially, investments in IRAs and for, you know, all real estate, and give them the empowerment to take ownership of their community in a different way.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. We really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast. Follow us on social media at Content Mag. Become a member and help us to continue to tell the stories of the South Bay creatives. This episode's music is 408 by Jack Pavlina. Follow him on Spotify and also on his Instagram at Jack Pavlina Music.